Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the time when we always talk to somebody from the Gulf Breeze News. This morning is Melanie Cormody, the managing editor, and I want to remind you that this segment is brought to you by Dale's Marine Construction. Live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction. Melanie, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you. So the Woodland Park project is progressing or getting ready to progress, right?
Yeah, finally. So the city of Gulf Breeze, they received what's called a Natural Resource Damage Assessment Grant, otherwise known as a NRDA grant. And it's for a little over $1 million, fully funded grant, zero local match. And the purpose of the grant is to help improve boating, kayaking, paddleboard, fishing access, and that sort of thing to local parks. Well, on Monday, the city council had to mutually terminate an agreement with the original contractor, and they began a contract with a new company. And hopefully that construction is going to start soon. They're going to break ground pretty soon on the Woodland Park project. And they're hoping that the project is no more than a year.
Great. It's a wonderful little amenity. It'll be really nice to clean it up and have it become what it's going to be. And I love that you explained what NRDA is for people who don't know. That goes back to the oil spill, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So long time. We keep getting money for all different kinds of things connected to that. Sidewalks are being built in the city?
Yeah, so the south of the county has been getting a lot more pedestrian-friendly resources available to them. We've got the multi-use path that was built alongside Highway 98. We've got another sidewalk. Well, we've got two more neighborhood sidewalk projects going on. We have on College Parkway that from Duke Drive to Highway 98. It connects Polynesian Islands and several other neighborhoods in that area to the highway and to the restaurants and grocery stores and that sort of thing. And we have another project coming up in Navarre from Laredo Street to Highway 90, from Highway 87 to Ortega Street. And those are just really busy pedestrian cut-throughs to get to two major places. So altogether, it's going to cost, these projects cost a little over $650,000. But I think it'll make it a lot more pedestrian-friendly for the area.
Sidewalks are not cheap. That is the one thing that we learn, is that you think roads are expensive. Sidewalks are amazingly expensive for what they really are. And they just did the one up around Spencer Field with the benches. I know Bobby Burkett was talking about that's getting a lot of use. I'm not sure how recently that was completed, but somewhat recently. Anyway, the local option sales tax issue has finally been approved. The ballot language is set, right?
Yeah, Santa Rosa County Commission approved Thursday the ballot language for a request for the renewal of the half-cent sales tax. The current five-year sales tax expires on December 31st, so the county is asking residents to renew the half-cent sales tax for another 5 years, and it'll begin January 1st. I know that the county commission, they really like this tax because a really large portion of it is actually paid for by out-of-towners. It's not coming directly out of the pockets of residents here in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, and there was some discussion at the county commission we talked about the other day about, you know, there are certain folks who want to see it used or pledged to be used only for roads and drainage. They, of course, are also adding in categories, you know, public safety and conservation land and parks and recreation. Some, you know, it can only be used for infrastructure things, not, you know, payroll and that kind of stuff. Also, we are looking at this storm. We're actually now under a tornado watch in our area. Mm-hmm. We're concerned about possible flooding, lots of rain possibly. And even though the rain, the worst of it may not hit us, it may come down to our north and then move south. Obviously, that can cause flooding, even if it doesn't happen in your area. Mm-hmm. So we got sand, right?
Yeah, so this isn't in the newspaper, but I just want to make sure people knew that there is sand available at four places in the county. The most local to us is at Tiger Point Park. There's sand available. You have to bring your own shovel and your own sandbags, but it is available if you think that your home or structure is at risk of flooding.
And, you know, obviously each individual business or property owner is familiar with the risk or not. And you have to, you know, act accordingly. And I always think it's, you know, our counties always do such a good job of making this available to folks. I'm glad we bought in an area we don't have to deal with it, you know, because we're generally quite safe from these things. But I can't imagine folks that have to, like, every time there's going to be 3 inches of rain, they got to put out sandbags, you know. It's just very, very inconvenient for sure. And there is a special something coming up this Sunday that everybody likes to forget about. What is it?
This little holiday called Father's Day is Sunday, so just this is your little reminder in case you forgot. And also, Sunday is June 21st, and it is the summer solstice, so it just so happens to also be the longest day of the year, the longest day of daylight. So
nice.
I think that's perfect for Father's Day.
All right. Well, and there's nothing the average American father likes more than celebrating the same day as the Druids, so well done. Also, I think, isn't tomorrow Juneteenth?
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is.
Lots of holidays going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. All right. Melanie Corman, she is the managing editor for the Gulf Breeze newspaper. Comes out every Thursday. And you and Lisa and the rest of the folks do such a great job of keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. See you in the breeze.
Yes, ma'am. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, in 477-8782. We've got a disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound. Right around the just past the Highway 29 exit, and it's causing traffic to back up all the way to Pine Forest Road, and it's basically just stopped right now. So we're experiencing about a 20-25 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, which she does both, I know a lot of times I talk about all the sales that Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty pull off. I mean, 209 last year, that's crazy. And it's been a hard market, you know. I mean, not relatively hard compared to when, you know, bumper crop like 4 years ago when you could basically put a sign in the ground that said home for sale and you have three offers. You know, they were over 200 homes then. Then it went to 175, then 165, which is still a lot. That's three a week. That's a lot, and especially in a challenging market where prices were up and interest rates were also up and people were skittish about the economy. Well, the market hasn't really changed, but they have figured it out. They and back up to over, you know, 200 homes, which is amazing. So whether it's selling, buying a rental, a vacation rental, a beach home, a city home, a bigger home, a smaller home, whatever it is, okay? And just if you have questions, I know you might feel like, well, she's super busy. How is she going to? Well, that's the point. Why are they busy? Because they treat people well. They, you know, will treat you like you're the only client they have, even though, you know, like, oh my gosh, they have a lot of other ones. And also it means that, for example, if your person that you're working with the most is not available for somebody who wants to come see your the home right now, there's always somebody available. That team approach really solves a lot of issues. She always talks about this when she's on Pep Talk. In any case, Christina's fabulous. You'll love her. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hi, this is Congressman Jimmy Patronis. This is your reminder that we're officially in hurricane season. Don't wait for a storm to be named to get your plan together, especially if you have pets or elderly family members. Make sure you have at least 3 days of food and water and medications. Go to jimmyhelpsyou.com for more tips. Together we can prepare, and together we will respond to whatever Mother Nature has in store.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Gallery Night Pensacola brings the streets of downtown to life with over 70 art vendors, live performances, and creative experiences. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Join the Panhandle Butterfly House and Nature Center Saturday from 10 till noon for their annual pollination celebration. It's a day of fun, food, and education. See the Panhandle Butterfly House on Facebook for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go. We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
morning, 820, News Radio 92.3, Def Leppard all day. You know, if I had ever been a music DJ, I probably would have been the one who talked over your intro that messed up your tape. I would have known better. But
that is a skill that you learn.
To stop talking right at the moment when the lyrics start?
Well, you have to time it out.
Yeah,
it's
you
a
do.
Skill that yeah. you learn. Right, I've fine. Done it for 30 years.
It's terrible. We used to hate you. You know that, though,
you
right?
You know you love me.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. What was I going to... Oh, this is... It's a little bit of a throwaway, but it's... I don't know. You had a hearing in Congress where they were talking with the head of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is, you remember, the whole business of they were funding people in the Klan and funding people who, you know, infiltrated the Klan, and they were paying money to create more activities and then fundraising on the opposition to the Klan. I mean, this is a really bad story. Whether it's a crime is a very interesting question. Is it a scandal? Absolutely it is. So Representative Brandon Gill is talking with the SPLC president, Brian Fair, about this topic, and he's asking him about their claims, the SPLC's claims about pro-lifers.
Your organization said that restricting and banning abortion is a tool of the far right uses to maintain white supremacy. Do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I believe that reproductive liberty is...
No, do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I will tell you what I believe if you're asking...
Yes or no?
I can't answer that question, yes or no.
I don't think that pro-lifers are white supremacists. Do you?
What I think is that reproductive liberty is a right that... every woman should enjoy.
What I think is I really don't want to answer your question. I mean, I know we've said it, but I don't like to have to say out loud the thing that I have said online and we've said about pro-lifers for years. When you ask me so directly, I'd rather evade the question and talk about something else or talk about it a little different way.
How many babies in the United States that are aborted are black?
Now, can I say that we have been so... trained to perceive questions as unacceptable or racist just because they're asked a certain way or use certain words, that's actually a really relevant question to ask. But I know what happened. I saw it in John's face. We've all been trained to be sensitive to race issues, whether we've had official sensitivity training or not. We've all learned, oh, I don't know, be careful, instead of just asking questions. But, okay, one more time, and then the answer.
How many babies in the United States that are aborted are black? About 40% of abortions nationwide are of black babies. Blacks represent about 13% of the population. Does that sound like something a white supremacist would oppose?
See, if pro-lifers are white supremacists, why would they oppose something that terminates the life of so many black babies? You would think white supremacists would be in favor of that, right?
What I would say again is that SPLC supports reproductive liberty.
Calling somebody a white supremacist is a pretty serious charge, isn't it? I would think you would be able to defend that if your organization says that. You clearly seem unable to.
Mr. Gill, I'm not sure why you would think I'm able to do anything.
Because you're the president of the SPLC, which labels pro-lifers as racists.
Does
your organization just hurl around epithets like that without any justification?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, they have for a long time. 824 on News Radio 92.3. That is, you know, just an interesting little moment from the hearings that I managed to stumble across. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines for us. David?
Good morning. Federal prosecutors are expected to wrap up their case today against the man accused of starting last year's Southern California Palisades fire. A final witness is expected to take the stand against arson suspect Jonathan Rindernecht. The courthouse, of course, will be closed on Friday for Juneteenth, but defense could start on Monday. Former child actor Davie Chase has died at 35. Her father says she died Tuesday in Los Angeles at a hospital from complications related to bacterial meningitis and a blood infection. She was best known for voicing Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. And security tight today in New York City for the Knicks championship parade. More than 10,000 police officers, a record amount, are assigned to the ticker tape parade for what could be record-setting crowds.
Yeah, all right. We're kind of it's been on one of the TV channels all morning, like that and the tornadoes in the Midwest and the weather and all that kind of stuff. Thanks so much for the update, David. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've got still dealing with a disabled vehicle in the roadway on I-10 eastbound. Again, traffic is moving, but is very slowly. Traffic is backed up all the way to Pine Forest from past Highway 29 exit. Almost to Pine Forest. So just be aware, that's about a 15-20 minute delay through that construction zone. Also, got another broke car, I think is a theme today.
They're out of money?
Highway 29 and Burgess Road. And the road is blocked right there, so it's broke. Use caution.
Is the car not functioning or is the car short on cash?
Both. Oh,
all right, fair enough.
Because it's short on cash because it's not functioning.
I see what you did there. Fair enough.
John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
I know this is David's favorite portion of the show whenever I talk about AI and tech things, but if last year you had gone online and described symptoms like having sore, itchy eyes, pink eyelids, to ChatGPT, one of the many chatbots that rely on, you know, AI, large language models, all that kind of stuff, they would have told you that maybe you should look into the possibility that you have Bixonomania. Bixonomania. Have you heard about Bixonomania? You know, ask your doctor about it. They may have a prescription drug for you to try.
Oh, there's one for everything.
Yeah, Bixonomania is a fake illness that Elmira Osmanovic Thunstrom, what, you're killing me with this story, medical research at the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, invented with her researchers to test whether large language models and AI, which are trained on vast amounts of data, could filter out misinformation. So they created a fake disease to see whether the chatbots would then help you identify that you have a fake disease. And they began circulating information on Bixonomania in early 2024. They put out two posts on a preprint server where scientists post studies that have not been peer-reviewed, so it's not really reliable research. It's before that. Also, there were all kinds of clues built in, like an April Fool's Day post designed so that a human reader would identify it, like the name of the author was Lying Loser in a different language. There was titles that were hyperpigmentation, a real BS design. You know, like there were things baked in there to make sure that if you were a human, you would know. But if you were an AI, you wouldn't be able to figure it out. So sure enough, the large language model, because they didn't want real people to start to believe in a fake disease. So sure enough, the large language models, because they don't know the difference between truth and falsehood or reality and fabrication or, you know, hallucination, they started referencing the fake condition, which now has its own Wikipedia page. In April, Bing's co-pilot said Bixonomania is indeed an intriguing and relatively rare condition. Gemini said Bixonomania is a condition caused by excessive exposure to blue light. ChatGPT told users their symptoms might mean they had the illness. According to Nature, like it actually cited a, you know, a real journal, some responses came from asking the bots about Bixonomania directly. Others came from queries about excess eyelid coloration due to blue light, and on and on and on. Alex Rowney, a misinformation researcher at London University College, said, "This is a masterclass on how mis and disinformation operates. If the scientific process itself and the systems that support the process are skilled and they aren't capturing and filtering out chunks like these, we're doomed. We're doomed." So, happy day. You know, happy dun, Thursday. Dun, dun. You know, I occasionally have people in my life that are like, you know, for all the work you do, you ought to use AI to like filter through some of these meetings or filter out information or scour the web. And my answer is, in as loud and adamant a voice as I can say, is I will never, ever, ever, ever use AI instead of my own eyes and ears to read actual things written by humans and to watch actual meetings. You can count on that. If that means I cover less, I will at least be sure that I am covering it accurately. You can count on me.
News. I'm Therese Crowley from the Palace of Versailles to the White House. President Trump back from signing the memo of understanding with Iran.
It's a memorandum of understanding. If it doesn't get done in 60 days, that's all right. We go back to bombing. You know, I don't want to do that because it's so good.
Fox's Trey Yates.
Within this deal includes an immediate end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon, respect to sovereignty and territorial integrity of Iran. The final deal must be reached within 60 days, but there is a possibility for an extension if those negotiations are going well.
AAA finds gas drop below $4 a gallon. The NYPD reports all viewing pens in Lower Manhattan are closed, full up with millions for the NBA New York Knicks Parade of Champions.
We've been at 7 p.m., us 2 a.m. We're here. We're bonded by one team, one city, one championship, and one is not enough.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 82 right now. We've got cloudy skies, looking like it's going to be a rainy day in store for us. There is a tornado watch that's been issued by the National Weather Service for Baldwin County, Alabama, Escambia County, Florida, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa County, Florida, and coastal waters from Pensacola, Florida, all the way to Pascagoula, Mississippi. That's until 5:25 tonight. In addition to the tornado watch, there's also a warning about dangerous, potentially life-threatening flash flooding risks. And that's going to be through Friday. The remnants of Tropical Storm Arthur pumping a bunch of tropical moisture through the region. 6 to 12 inches of rain are possible, possibly even more than that. So watch out for any flash flood warnings that come out. Well, public opposition to data centers continued last night at the Escambia Board of Commissioners meeting during the Gary Sansing Public Forum. Commissioners appeared to, during discussion, to signal that they're not really interested in moving forward with data centers.
Let's hold a vote. Ban it. Ban it in the county. Hold a vote and ban it.
I'm so sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, if all of you are opposed to a data center, then stand with your community and Escambia County as a whole, considering the majority is against it, and ban it right now.
Yeah! And that was one of several speakers that spoke during the Gary Sansing Public Forum during more than 2 hours that went on prior to the start of the regular meeting. After hearing from residents, Commissioner Lumen May did ask to begin the process of bringing that onto the regular meeting agenda. However, county staff said the next step would be for commissioners to direct staff to schedule a public hearing on a possible ordinance. One resident said that a petition opposing data centers had now gathered more than 5,300 signatures as of Tuesday night. An update on that federal corruption case in Pritchard, Alabama. The Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch says the department's evidence room is the most disorganized he's ever seen. He says there's sexual assault kits stacked on the floor, unlabeled guns that have been tossed in buckets and desk drawers, and even a long gun was found lying on the floor next to a toilet. Birch said it could take up to 6 months to catalog everything. And during that time, Pritchard police officers are not allowed inside of that building. Well, travel numbers are expected to hit new heights over the Independence Day holiday.
Official projections from AAA say more than 72 million Americans will get away for the long weekend. That's an increase of 5.3% over last year. Coastal destinations, including Miami, are expected to see heavy traffic, especially. Interest is being driven by events tied to America's 250th birthday celebration, the FIFA World Cup, and, of course, the fourth landing on a Saturday. Orlando is also expected to rank among the busiest holiday destinations. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
The University of Florida's presidential search has hit a snag. Board of Governors Chair Alan Levine asking for next week's vote on hiring Stuart Bell to be postponed. In a letter to the state university system, Chancellor Levine expressed concern that the UF Board of Trustees chair might have too much authority in that hiring process. Levine said his concern is not a reflection of Bell himself. It's 8:35, and let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with a disabled vehicle that happened on I-10 eastbound. Traffic is at a very slow crawl between Highway 29 and Pine Forest. Again, that's I-10 westbound. Expect about a 15 to 20 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a high chance of rain today, showers and thunderstorms. There's a threat of severe weather as you head into your afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 82 degrees. Going into your Friday, another high chance of showers and thunderstorms, 90% chance of rain, high near 87. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Saturday, we will have a 60% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 82 degrees with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3. Your money now this morning at the opening bell. The Dow up just under 0.75%. 51,840.92. S&P 500 is up over 0.75% at 74,84.19. NASDAQ up just under 1% at 26,267.18. 10-year bond rate is down today at 4.43%. Turning to commodities, gold down 102.90 at 42,78.50. Silver down 3.59 at 67.17. Bitcoin is down 378.28. Sitting at 63,987.20. Taking a look at oil prices today, continuing to decline after the Iran deal was signed. West Texas Intermediate down just under $2 at $74.82 a barrel. Brent crude down $1.47 at $78.08 a barrel this morning. Taking a look at our our fuel prices. Our national average from AAA is at $3.99 a gallon. That is down today. AAA's statewide average in Florida at $3.70 a gallon. That is down from $3.73 a gallon yesterday. Local prices averaging about $3.42 in Escambia and $3.51 in Santa Rosa counties. Now turning to our financial headlines this morning. Weekly jobless claims are out. Over a 250,000 Americans found themselves filing for first-time unemployment benefits last week. The Labor Department says it received 226,000 initial claims for the week ending June 13th. That is 4,000 less than the previous week's revised total and in line with what analysts were expecting. President Trump says a memorandum of understanding between the U.S. and Iran has been signed. He confirmed the signing to reporters as the G7 summit was wrapping up yesterday. The White House says the memorandum is now in effect. It includes the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz and easing of financial restrictions against Iran and expectations moving forward regarding discussions on the country's nuclear program. A top leader for Gemini AI is leaving the company to join OpenAI. Google's vice president of engineering, Noam Shazier, made that announcement on X Wednesday. Shazier posted, quote, "It was a difficult decision to move," and said he was proud of the work he did at Google. It's 8:39. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
Jimmy Patronis is on the line with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I'm live from Washington, D.C. today.
We've obviously today been talking about the property tax proposal that has come out of the House and the Senate now.
I've been through a property tax special session before. At the same time that you want to lower everybody's property tax bill, you also have those essential services.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, let's have a conversation about red receipts or read receipts, depending on how you want to say it. On your phone, when you're texting with somebody, and depending on whether it's an Android or an iPhone or whether they're the same as you, whether you're all in the same ecosystem or, you know, you've crossed cultural boundaries or whatever, you text somebody and it'll show or not that they've read it. It'll show, like on mine, it shows delivered and then it shows read. Do you leave that on or do you manually show that it's happened? Because these are all options that are available. 437-1620. Let's have a conversation about what do you call it? You prefer to say read receipts or read receipts?
Read.
I would say too. But I mean, did you, you know, was has it been read?
I was thinking something color red.
I know. Like, has it been read? Is because it was read. It's in the past. It's kind of a weird word. Anyway, there's no way for you to answer this via texting to me because read and read both spell the same. Anyway, okay. So, John, 437-1620. Do you have automatic read receipts on?
Where
no. Do you, which way do you say it?
Read receipts.
Read receipts. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It's not English class. All right.
Sometimes it is.
No, I don't. For a select few people, I do.
Okay.
Just
because default is on. You have to turn it off. At least on the Android, you have to turn it off.
I can't remember on the iPhone. It's been so long.
Okay. So you have it off for most people. So,
yeah.
But for some, you have it on automatic. Like your kids, I assume.
Yes.
Talisha.
Yeah.
Okay. Me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to know. Did he see it? Okay. But the problem is people who, if you've got it on, they see that and maybe you don't want them to know you saw it. Or you do want them to know and you're not answering. And you want that to be your answer.
I didn't think about it that way.
Or, right, because if you see a read receipt and they don't say anything, the fact that they didn't say anything could be what they're saying. Not answering that.
Right.
You dummy. Don't ask me that question.
I didn't say
don't ask it. Me a question you don't want the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I find I wish I knew a little better exactly how the technology worked, but if I have my phone on the desk and the last program I accessed is texting, and does it show that I've read it or not? You know, there are times when I feel like, especially on Facebook, if it's a message on Facebook, it works a little bit differently, but it's the same basic concept, is it's going to show them that I've seen it because I happen to have the chat open, but I might have been away from the computer for 2 hours. So it's an unreliable indicator to some degree. So how much do you count on it? That's another question, I suppose. 4-3 Go ahead, John.
Now, the iPhone, you actually have to open the text message or open it on your watch.
So if it's on the index or if it's on the, it's the front of the lock
notification
screen.
Page. Okay,
that
yeah.
does not count as
no,
a read
No, it just
receipt.
Says delivered. Okay, I tested this receipt. Theory. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you get insulted if somebody doesn't answer you right away and it shows they've read it?
It
or,
just depends
I suppose
on
you'd
what
prefer
my...
to say it shows they've readed it.
Readed it.
Go on.
No.
Oh, okay. Can I just pause before we even get in? Is that where Reddit comes from?
Reddit.
I never thought about it. I just figured it was some weird made-up name. Almost like a frog name, like Ribbit Reddit.
Huh.
But is Reddit from I Reddit?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I feel really dumb for asking out loud. Okay, back to the question, though.
That was you.
Do you ever... You don't know. Do you ever, does it offend you that somebody waits too long after the read receipt shows up?
No, but I know people that...
It does.
Oh, they are like, hello, question mark.
Right, following up. And I always feel like those people are a little bit high strung.
Whatever you say, I need to sleep inside because it's raining. Love you, girl.
That's the same people who send out the email, per my last email...
Oh, yeah.
In the subtext that you didn't answer either.
Oh. Let that be the answer.
437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with a disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound, right between the Pine Forest exit and Highway 29. The good news is that it's off to the side of the road and traffic is moving slowly, but it's moving. And we also have another accident, and we just got a text about this. There's an overturned car westbound side just past Avalon Boulevard on I-10 at the edge of the woods. It says wrecker and police are on the scene on the side of the road.
Overturned? That's scary. Okay.
Yeah, well, I guess they slid and then. So thank you for the heads up on that one. I appreciate that. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, theory verified. I just got a text from a friend who said he had showed me. Now, I hate to acknowledge this. It's the AI overview to the question. You know how AI is shoving down your throat all the time? Like they want to give that first before anything else so that you get in the habit. Anyway, that Reddit is a phonetic play on the phrase, I read it. Like I read it on Reddit.
Well, look at you discovering new things.
Does it mean you saw it on Reddit or does it mean that you go on Reddit because it's something that you did read and you bring it to the attention of the community? So many nuances.
Something
here.
You did read and bring in into the attention.
Okay. Anyway, somebody text the answer to my question, which is 437-1620.
And I might read it.
Do you have Reddit receipts on? Read receipts on your phone? Do you like it? Do you depend on them? Is it offensive to you when other people don't have? I will say sometimes there are certain people I know that they don't have them on. And then I send them a text. And I'm like,
But you don't put hello, question mark.
Because I figure they're adults. And if they were going to say something, they would have.
Right.
And if it's pressing, I'll call them. I mean, if I really need an answer to something,
mm-hmm.
you know, meanwhile, I'm silently judging them for, you know, not being good people and not responding, but, you know.
Silently.
Silently. And what things in my life do I ever do silently?
Nothing.
Somebody says I prefer read receipts on mostly for my kids, so I know that they've read my text.
And I see the point in that.
Right.
You know.
Hey,
come home now.
Friends.
Yeah.
Right. And. You know, it's the evidence.
Exactly.
What you mean you didn't see the text? Yes, you did. It says right here. But again, I feel like that's only 90, 95% reliable. There could be some times. Somebody says, thanks for the knowledge that I can turn it off, even though my wife will still know I read it since she knows everything anyway.
That's so true.
Part of why I wanted to have this one as a frivolous topic is I assumed that a lot of people didn't even know you could turn it off.
No.
I figure a lot of people didn't know that. So, you know, that's my public service. Announcement for today. Thank you. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, you know, payroll. Torgerson Consulting is there to help with that. I know you don't like to do it, but they do. They're kind of weird nerds like that. And I say that as a compliment because I respect the nerd. People who like to do things I don't do, I pay them for services. That's how that works. And, you know, people don't like to do what I do. So that's the whole world, okay? So the stuff you hate to do in your business, but you know you have to do, Torgerson Consulting does. In fact, just the other day, I was watching the City Milton meeting where Reed Torgerson was giving them a very extensive briefing on health plans, and he was explaining how the plan you're in is actually going to go up a little bit in price, and there is a competitor plan where you have a decrease in price, but you guys overuse your health insurance, and if you leave this very good group, you may have trouble getting back into it. And he was laying out all the numbers and explaining. Just did a fabulous, did exactly what I expect Reed to do, which is be detail-oriented nerd on health insurance. And it was a very comprehensive presentation. And that's what we benefited from here at News Radio and Cat Country the last 5 years. We've been using them, and they've been great. They're not miracle workers. They can't make plans exist that don't exist, but they can find the best and do a great analysis of what's going to work best for you, your company, your employees. They've been in business for 25 years. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As lead agency for our regional continuum of care, Opening Doors of Northwest Florida helps coordinate funding, data, and community planning to strengthen local response to homelessness. Offensive Corp and the Santa Rosa County Bicycle Street Outreach Project is an innovative pilot program helping reach the homeless in areas difficult to access by vehicles throughout Santa Rosa County. Together, Opening Doors and Offensive Corp work to strengthen housing stability across our community. Sponsored by DeLuna Lanes Bowling, where it never rains and no one sits the bench.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child.
Kick, start, he's overdue. Life as a star. Waiting tables hadn't done that so far. Spotlight, a dream for many a year. The leather jacket, Jimmy's ever ready. Stage winner. Sorry, I'm not your cup of tea, but I don't mind. Yes, I don't mind.
Good afternoon, Council. Chief Frank Milton, PD. I'm proud to announce that we were able to coordinate with Winter Springs Police Department. They had $19,000 worth of tactical equipment. To be clear, that's 7 ballistic shields, estimated at $1,700 apiece. 1 tactical blanket, not as cuddly as it sounds, estimated at $1,000, and 7 ballistic shield helmets, at $900 each.
Yeah, so pretty cool that she went out and talked to this other city, Winter Springs, and is able to get a hold of some of their stuff that they're basically getting rid of. They were going to use it for training only, you know, not for actual activity.
These items have exceeded their manufacturer's warranty. However, best practices and just common knowledge has expressed to us that the ballistic shields and helmets still hold a ballistic capability beyond their manufacturer's warranty. These were being aged out and removed from their system. Typically, they would go into a training program. We reached out to them and asked if they would be willing to donate them to the city of Milton. They're donating them at no cost to us at all. While it is not the most ideal situation, it's better to have an expired ballistic shield than no shield at all, which is our current equipment rating. We respectfully request the ability to accept that $19,000 in equipment at this time.
Yeah, which, of course, is a no-brainer, easy to do. And, you know, Jen has been doing some, Chief Frank has been doing some great stuff in Milton. And this is an example of, you know, I get on Milton for some of the dysfunction, and particularly certain people. But, like I was trying to tell you, the staff is fantastic. The police department is fantastic. It's, you know, if only we could get the right people elected office or unelected office, things would be so much better. They might be less entertaining, But I don't think that, you know, the worry that Milton is going to become boring and not a source of fodder for
it's
this radio show,
happen.
It's never going to happen.
I'm telling you now, living there, it's not going to happen.
We're on like our seventh season of Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. There's no way it's ever going to happen.
No way.
But I do like this idea that, you know, these donated items that are, you know, maybe past their manufacturer warranty, it doesn't mean they don't have a value. And, you know, what's better, to have no ballistic shield or have a ballistic shield that has some use, but it's beyond its warranty? Well, you know, something is better than nothing. And by the way, a ballistic blanket, I believe what that is just a, it's kind of what you would think of, like a blanket that you might, you know, when you go to the dentist, they do x-rays and they put that, you know, shield over you, the lead shield. I think it's basically that kind of a device that's flexible so that you can cover sort of irregular shapes and gaps in places that you might want to cover with some kind of a ballistic defense. I think that's what that is. Anyway, so good for her finding this, and good for the police department there in Winter Springs for donating. We'll take it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Did they vote to accept
it? Oh, yeah. No, that was easy. Yeah, right. No controversy.
Just wanted to verify.
I know.
You never know
what you can take for granted. That's true.
I-10, I-110 are back to flowing normal again. 90-98, I'm not seeing any accidents to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I was trying to decide whether I would talk about this very much today. We talked yesterday about the Major League Baseball, the hats, the Pride Night hats, and I gave you a lot of examples. And to me, I think that very few people are rationally addressing this topic. You basically have the people who can't believe that they wouldn't be pro-gay. How dare they? And then you have the other people who can't believe that anybody wouldn't want them to put Bible verses on their hats. Because the people who like Christianity and traditional morality are defending the players, and the people who are opposed to traditional morality and prefer to include, you know, all kinds of sexual behavior as perfectly okay are on the opposite sides. And so, you know, these folks were in favor of Colin Kaepernick, but they're opposed to the hats. And these people are in favor of the hats, but opposed to Colin Kaepernick. And what I always try to do, John, is say, you know, let's be consistent. Let's think our way through this and be clear. And even though I think I made you think real hard about this yesterday, right?
You did.
Okay. And I said things like, well, what about a 4th of July hat? Because it's real common for them to wear patriotic colors in the logo on the 4th of July. What would you think about a player who was hostile to America, let's say, and wanted to put, you know, 3/5 of a person on the hat, like as a reminder that the Constitution originally treated black people as property, and the compromise was over treating them as, you know, partial people for some purposes, partial slaves for other purposes, property. Anyway, would you support that? Oh, no, that's un-American. Well, what's the difference? I mean, it's viewpoint. And if you set the precedent of allowing people to write personal viewpoint on their uniform, well, you need to let them write personal viewpoint on the uniform, whatever the cause is. You know, it's kind of hard to think of crazy examples, but I mean, if you're going to allow the Christian players to write viewpoint, then, I mean, what if somebody, it's hard to imagine, but what if somebody for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, doesn't want to have pink on or wants to, you know, they want to be opposed to breast cancer research. You know, like people could come up with all kinds of things. What if the team wanted to do like a Christian night and everybody wore crosses or something? I mean, it's just the solution is, and, you know, I wouldn't come to you if I didn't have some kind of a solution, but the solution is just let people opt for the standard uniform. Give them a non-content-oriented alternative. Don't make them speak something they don't believe in. Don't make them speak at all. Allow them to sort of be silent. You don't have to let them be anti-gay if you don't want to. You know, I mean, but they probably shouldn't be endorsing viewpoint to begin with. But look, this is a religious accommodation. The least you could do is just give them the choice to just wear a regular hat. Then, I mean, who can be offended? Well, they're not pro-gay. Well, okay, that's your problem, not their problem, right? You're trying to impose your views on them. Anyway, so I think it's actually very easy to solve. I wish they would have solved it better. But be careful about claiming that you're operating on the basis of a principle when you're really operating on is, I like this speech, I don't like this speech, and that's the way you answer these things. Oh, interesting little note. The Department of War has now changed the name of INDOPACOM, India Pacific Command. It's going back to its traditional historical designation of PACOM. It's just going to be U.S. Pacific Command. It means nothing as far as operational responsibilities, what they'll be doing, where they'll be handling. It's just a name change. going back to the old name instead of the new name. That's it.